So welcome to our course on embracing the feminine. We are so happy to have you here with us. We're just going to start with some introductions. My name is Brianna McWilliam, and I am a creative arts therapist. I'm going to give you a little bit about my past and experience. I got my master's degree in creative arts therapy from Pratt Institute in 2006, as well as my license and board certification. After that, I worked with a lot of different populations struggling with such issues as mental illness, HIV, addiction, homelessness, trauma, and relationship issues. I've worked in inpatient, outpatient, school-based, and community-based settings, and I was the director of the Creative Arts Therapies programs at Hartley House and the Women's Health Center for Housing Works. Most recently, I was a Outcomes and Research Coordinator for the Amen Clinics, which is a brain research and diagnostic facility. And with that, I am going to hand it over to the illustrious Ramona.
Hi, my name is Ramona Mukherjee, and I am a mindfulness-based psychotherapist. I currently have my private practice, which is called Therapy to Evolve, and I operate here in New York City. My background is I have a master's in education with my emphasis in counseling psychology. It's from Teachers College, Columbia University. I am also a yoga instructor and very deeply informed by Eastern wisdom practices such as yoga, meditation, mindfulness, and tantra. As a therapist, I specialize in weaving in practices such as breath, pranayama practices, guided visualization, hypnosis, mindfulness, meditation, body awareness, or somatic awareness, all into the process of confronting whatever challenges are coming up and moving through them. A big part of my work history has been working with trauma. I worked extensively providing therapy to survivors of domestic violence, sex trafficking, and women who have suffered deep, deep trauma on their bodies, their psychologies, their spirit. One of the big ways that I would do this is also using dance movement therapy, particularly with an organization I worked with in India. And so the issue of empowering and evolving women in their understanding of themselves and their bodies has been a big part of what I've worked with, and it has brought me here to this moment where I'm working with the lovely Brianna to deepen and move into the next level of our understanding of what it means to truly empower, to be in the power of what it is to be feminine, what it is to be woman. So with that, let us continue talking about what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, so I thought maybe, Ramona, you could kick us off with, because you come from this particular school of thought and wisdom, to tell us a little bit about the feminine aspect or the feminine, you know, in relationship to the masculine, and where does that come from and what do we mean when we're talking about that?
Yeah, so feminine is, you know, we're seeing this word, we're seeing this concept thrown around a lot, played with a lot, maybe not thrown around, but played with quite a bit. And the idea of understanding the feminine has been put under the in the category of like being feminist, right? And so feminist concepts, which came about in the 60s and 70s, having to do with the rise of women's power, claiming a kind of sense of social and economic, political power in the constructs that were developed by the men who had the power at the time, has been a huge way that women have understood this for a long time, women and men both. So what is it to be a feminist? It's to have equal rights, equal opportunity, which is a beautiful thing and a glorious fight that we're very grateful to our, you know, to the pioneers of it. But what has happened is over the years, you know, in the more recent years, that has taken this kind of tone of women being on the battlefield fighting the man's fight as men or claiming their power as the masculine. And something has gotten lost, something about what is truly feminine or feminist may have gotten lost in that process or a little diminished. So I'd like to introduce this idea, which was introduced to me by many of my teachers, which is this idea of sacred feminism. You know, how can we take our feminist understanding even a little bit deeper to the levels of sacred, true sense of power, which is actually part of our biology, our chemistry, our roles. So sacred feminism really is about understanding our association to the feminine as beyond just gender. It's tuning in, tapping in, and deepening on a subtle body level to that universal understanding of the feminine principle as a guiding principle that is universal.
So here I would ask you to make that tangible for us. You know, can you give us some adjectives that would describe that feminine principle, or maybe, you know, how it would look in your life?
Yes. So the feminine principle is, you know, in this, again, the school that I come from, which is Tantra, we call it Shakti. Shakti, which literally means potency, pure potential. It's the pure potential for something to be sparked into manifestation. It's literally that force, that dynamism, that creative possibility. And it works in polarity with Shiva. Shiva, which is the masculine, divinely masculine concept of pure awareness, pure spaciousness, sort of the gravity that grounds down that spark of creativity so that it doesn't just sort of blow itself out. Mm. So on a very universal level, if you can imagine, you know, that there's space in which there are these planets and these sun and these galaxies that are creative. So that space that contains all of it would be Shiva consciousness or the divinely masculine consciousness. And all of those things that burst, you know, that are like...
The Big Bang. Yeah.
That's Shakti. That's the feminine force. Mm-hmm. So that's the cosmic level, right? Mm-hmm. That's the kind of mystical understanding of it. Now, how do we see this in our daily lives? It's also important to note that we're not talking about women and men. Mm-hmm. All men, all women, all creatures, all beings are... Some combination of this divine dance between the masculine and the feminine, this really divine love story, if you will. Mm. I'm a romantic, so I like using
and
those
this is love patterns
after
so
all.
So we're going to use that language.
Yes. So, you know, and we all dance like, you know, there can be really sometimes rigid and jarring dances, sometimes very fluid ones. We're all dancing with it, you know, this polarity. So.
When you're speaking, it does bring to mind, for me, a quote by John Gray, the guy who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and he also just recently came out with a book called Conscious Men. Mm-hmm. And specifically when you're talking about space and potentiality, the way he describes it is that for men to be conscious, you know, to be mindful and fully seated in their masculine, they have to create space around their emotions. Mm. And for women have to find a way to lean into it and to ride it like a wave. And he says that a woman rides her emotions back to love. Whereas for a man to create, and I'm talking about women, man in very literal, concrete ways, but as you said, it could be someone who's more in their masculine versus someone who's more in their feminine, and we all exist on a spectrum, mm. right? And so I'm just going to use us as an example. Whenever I'm around you, I feel like I'm more in my masculine. Mm. And there's something in our interaction that makes me feel like I want to be chivalrous towards you. Or like I get this like fierce, protective like quality. And I feel like I want to clear space for you so that your stage is clear. And I feel that way. There's something about you and us together that draws that up in me. Mm. But sometimes when I am in a situation maybe with other women or with other men, I feel much more in my feminine. Mm. And there's almost this expectation I'm waiting for them to clear space for me. And so that's something that comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that comes up for me, and because I come from this place of brain study and looking at how our chemicals, you know, are balanced in our bodies in such a way, even though we're talking about this as being somewhat not disconnected, but that it can exist on a spectrum with whatever your gender assignment may be, mm-hmm. there are some specific things that exist in the male and female body and differences that exist in our brains that reflect some of the things that we're talking about. Although I will add, there's a caveat to that, that about 20% of men have female brains and about 20% of women have male brains. So whatever I say after this, just keep that in mind. but one of the things that we talk about on the promo for this course and for the workshop that we've run together is that 12 million people, or women, I should say, 12 million women in the United States have depression. And that's twice the rate of men, and that is about one in eight, every eighth woman. There are some reasons for that. And when we talk about femininity as being potential creativity, right, or the potential for creativity and the Big Bang and so forth, that there's a quality of diffuse awareness with that, that a woman kind of, a man, and when I say man, again, I mean the masculine, holds the space, creates the space, and the woman fills it, right? She she evolves and grows into it. So we can think of that as a kind of expansion. And if we think of expansion as this outward movement, this filling in the space, we can think of it as almost a diffuse awareness, mm-hmm. and not in a bad way. But the brain, for example, female brains at rest are 90% active. They're almost more active than when a woman is up and doing something. And a man's brain is 9% active while at rest. And this is what you and I were talking about earlier, where a woman, everything that she's worried about or everything that she's concerned about or thinking about, because her brain has so many connections, all of those things are experienced at the same priority level. They're all equally important to her.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a man, his brain doesn't work that way. They have boxes. There's boxes for every subject, topic, thought that they have. And the boxes don't touch. It's very important. Boxes do not touch. Don't ask me to make the boxes touch. That's against the sacred rule. Whereas a woman's brain is just one big box and everything is thrown in there. And so this also impacts the way we prioritize things, the way we think about things. And the other aspect of the feminine brain is that we are related. We're related creatures.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain chemicals and hormones that are stimulated when we are at rest or when we're calm versus when we're stressed. And for women, the calming chemicals, the chemicals that put us into balance, are activated by relatedness, by talking to each other, by physical touch and cuddling, for example, or just a caress or being held, these things that activate our calming chemicals. Whereas when we are in, let's say we are in our masculine and we're producing and we're worrying about getting things done and we're seeing that the light bulb needs to be fixed and all of that, actually our stress hormones go up. And so when husband comes home and or your partner, who maybe is more in their masculine, comes home, and they need 30 minutes to decompress because they've just expended all of their chemicals on being productive, and they need 30 minutes to create space, or they create their own space to rejuvenate their calming chemicals because their chemicals are rejuvenated not by relatedness and talking it out, but by having a moment alone and a moment to calm down and disconnect, make sure that their boxes aren't touching anymore. Right? Someone who's more in their feminine is going to be like, why don't they love me? Why aren't they helping me? You know, and then that creates even more stress. So we can see where some of the conflict comes in.
Well, what's really great about everything you've just said is this, you've given us a solid, grounded understanding, you know, where what I presented earlier was that sort of cosmic understanding. And this is actually what it looks like for us as human beings, whether it's as two women relating and noticing that in the context of one set of friends, you know, a certain aspect of our goddess is invoked, mm-hmm. and she might even be a more masculine aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, I'm making quotes with my fingers. and, you know, the same person, you can be with a different set of friends, a different aspect of you is invoked. You can be with your intimate partner who is, if he's male and more in his masculine or whatever, you know, the situation, how these dynamics kind of arise for each of us differently. First, just looking at it and talking about it like we are gives us a window, you know, to what this looks like. Right. What we want to do and our goal in talking with each other and sharing our conversations and explorations with all of you who are listening is to start to open that window for yourselves. You know, what aspects of yourself are invoked in which context? Which version of you are you when you're at work versus with your friends versus with your family versus with your partner? Do you find yourself very stuck in one particular aspect that serves one part of your life but not others? And are you frustrated by that? And there's a lot of analysis that we can do, which is an important part of it. But first, what I would like to do and what I know you would like to do, Brianna, why we wanted to bring this together is that analysis is still very heady. So in order to really get to the root of this, beyond the books, beyond the neuroscience of it, beyond the, you know, couples therapy of it, is actually deepening first for all of us, women and men, but it's probably mostly women who are listening to this right now. For all of us to tap into something that's not so easily or quickly accessible to us in our mind, but that resides very, very deeply in our body. It is our deepest wisdom. So the old sages, mystics, and seers knew this, and they understood it as a technology and a science. Of course, they didn't express it in that way, but now in our age of advancement in technology, we have the science and technology to understand this. So the fact that this potency, Shakti, this pure potential, that it's actually resides in our body in a very physical, chemical way, at the base, at the root, the base of our spine and the root of our body, in the root and sacral chakras. So now bringing in some yogic philosophy and understanding. When we can begin to connect to those aspects of ourselves, which the big sort of feminist fight of the 60s and 70s took us away from, because we were fighting, you know, from our intellect. Now, instead of even treating it as a fight, but rather a dance, a divine dance, of rooting into our power that resides coiled deeply at the very base of our spine, of our root, then we can start to live in our relationships with friends, family, intimate partners, charged by a whole new sort of paradigm of awareness.
And not trying to box it into what we think it needs to look like so that it's accepted on some external level.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that comes to mind when you were saying that was Alison Armstrong talks about this, and she says, we can be masculine on caffeine and donuts. We can be masculine on fumes and running on nothing but pure exhaustion. But feminine energy takes life force. It takes raw energy. It takes intention, and it takes sacred care. And that brings me back to what it is that we really want to do with this course, which is create an authentic connection to ourselves, right? To our deep feminine self, which will allow us to tap into all of that, like this pure and limitless abundance that exists right within us, quite literally in the womb space, right? And we're going to be talking about that. But I think that's an important aspect of what we are going to be sharing and what we are hopefully going to be guiding you through with these practices is self-care and loving yourself and how that is really the first step to tapping into the deep feminine, which is an aspect of welcoming in all the things that you really want and need in your life. And that will be reflected in those intimate interactions.
Right. So receiving what you really want and expressing from the place that you truly want to. So often our expressions are very reactive.
Yeah.
So actually, just to give you all a sense, since again, we're talking about feeling it, but we're being very heady in our conversation. So everybody, just for 1 second, Brianna will lead us through a deeper meditation on sensing the womb space. But for right now, just quite quickly, if everyone can, wherever you're seated or wherever you are, if you're in a space where you can't close your eyes, then just let your gaze grow a little diffuse, unless you're driving. In which case, stay focused.
Stay in your mask.
But if you're seated, wherever you're seated, just let your spine grow a little bit taller. Just engage. Let your sit bones root down. And as you feel the heaviness of the lower half of your body, your legs, your feet, your sitting bones, however you're seated, or even if you're standing, just feel a reach beyond the connection, whatever points of connection to the floor. Feel it reach deeper beyond the floor into the earth. And as you root down, let the spine grow a little bit taller as you feel some lightness, because you know and feel that you are supported. Let your breath grow deep. And the next breath in, let it reach down into your belly, deep into the space of your reproductive organs, deep into the pelvic floor. And every breath out, let it rise up from those depths. Every breath in reaches down into your deepest self. Every breath up springs up from that place. Notice how in doing this, are you feeling your body a little differently? Are you aware of the sounds around you a little differently? Are the thoughts in the mind occurring to you maybe just a little differently? Just notice. Taking one more breath in, just like that. And this time, as you breathe it out, you can let your eyes float open and take in the space. Notice if your perception of the space is shifted.
Thank you. That was lovely. And with that, I think we will conclude with drawing your attention to some of the other resources that we have available for today's practice. This includes a write-up that touches upon the things that we've discussed, as well as some additional thoughts, and a guided meditation that will introduce you to your womb space and help you get in touch with your feminine essence. I would encourage you, after going through this practice, to either journal, sketch, or dictate, otherwise record and reflect on what arose for you through the exploration of this practice, and this will help you to reflect on any themes or work that reveals itself as we move through this course.